This morning we continue with our sermon series through the Ten Commandments. Today we are at the fourth commandment, the longest of the Ten Commandments, the most words at least in it. So we're in Deuteronomy 5. In your bulletin, it's listed as verse 12. It should have said 12 through 15. So follow along in your Bible or the Pew Bible or the screens if you'd like and hear God's word to us today. Observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, either the foreigner residing in your towns, so that even your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand, an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you, observe the Sabbath day. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, be acceptable and even pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week I suggested to you that commandment number 3, don't misuse the name of the Lord your God, may be the most often broken of the Ten Commandments. This week, I think, without question, commandment number 4, honor the Sabbath, is the most often ignored. Surveys and multiple choice questions consistently show that this is the least remembered of the Ten Commandments. Less than 25% of people could identify it as one of the commandments. And when people are asked to name a certain number of commandments, 3, 4, or 5, almost never does remember the Sabbath make the list. Historically, though, this hasn't always been true. The loss of Sabbath is a fairly recent happening. In the not too distant past, in fact, many of you remember the days in which Sabbath was taken much more seriously, in some cases too seriously. In those days, for better or worse, many businesses closed, many shops were closed, people couldn't do things on Sunday because of what were called blue laws. By the way, the blue laws are one of a very few type of religious laws that have consistently been upheld by the Supreme Court. On those days, work stopped. There was generally a family dinner. And depending on how strict your family was, it's possible that there was no TV, no games, no chores, no shopping, no restaurants, and at least as a few kids remember from those times, no fun. Of the Ten Commandments, keep the Sabbath has caused by far the most legalism in Christian communities, and the largest amount of keeping track of who did what and when. Like, was there a tractor in the field on Sunday? Was there a car at the store? One pastor said, in my community, if you mowed your yard on Sunday, you might as well go the whole distance and paint your house pink and convert to Islam. And another said, in my community, in trying to keep the Sabbath holy, instead we, quote, infected it with joylessness. Well, those days, for better or worse, and there's some of both, are largely gone. In our day, Sunday is just another day, full of shopping, sports, youth activities, football, and all the rest. There's not much attention paid to the idea of sacred time. Leisure, yes, but not rest. Not worship. Well, there are two things about the word Sabbath you might find interesting. The first is that it literally means Saturday. Christians changed their week's holy day to Sunday to honor the resurrection of Jesus. But the Sabbath has always been for the Jewish people and will always be on Saturday. It begins on Friday evening, sundown Friday, and lasts till sundown Saturday. And Sabbath keeping is an absolute essential to the Jewish faith. And while Jewish people and Christians have shared different days, we do keep together some ideas of Sabbath. The second thing about the word Sabbath, and maybe more important for us, is that Sabbath literally means stop. Sabbath has always been to put on the brakes, to slow down, to stop completely, to rest. To quote two biblical scholars, Sabbath is not just about taking time off. Sabbath is about retaking time. Sabbath is a declaration that our time is God's time, and therefore rest is theological, even ethical. People of faith through Sabbath are called to withdraw from the patterns of the world and honor God. Stanley Hauerwas and Will Willman tell a story of one of their high school basketball teams in Texas that wasn't particularly good except for the star of the team. The problem is the star of the team was a young Jewish boy who wouldn't play on Friday nights. And so consistently every game they had on Friday night, two things happened. He didn't go and they lost. But they said this, we knew something was different about him. Every time he didn't show up, he proclaimed that something was more important than basketball. Something sacred. Something non-negotiable. Maybe that calls to mind the Christian story of Eric Liddell, the Flying Scotsman from the movie Chariots of Fire, who refused to run the 100-yard dash at the 1924 Olympics because the preliminaries were on Sunday. By the way, he was a favorite to win the gold medal. For Jews and then Christians after them, Sabbath has been a weekly reminder that we belong to God, not the world, not our business, not our farm, not our work. We belong to God. The commandment comes with the words, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. In other words, you have changed masters. And the new master built into the very rhythm of creation a sacred pattern of work and then rest. Honor the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Think for a moment of what that means. The Sabbath is already holy. We don't make it holy, we keep it holy. We are never called to create holiness on the Sabbath. Rather, not to distract from the holiness of the Sabbath. Not to dishonor it, not to mess it up. To withdraw, to stop and rest has been considered sacred business, the duty of people of faith. And it applied to everyone. The rich were to stop making money as a sign of their priorities. The poor are invited to rest as a sign of trust and care. Even animals get a break. The commandment is partly about not working all the time, but mostly about not thinking that work is the most important thing you can do with your time. And it's unfortunate that so much legalism came to surround this commandment, because we eventually lost the idea that we are different. That we as people of faith have a different rhythm, different schedule, different priorities than the world around us. It seems harsh, but Luther suggests that this commandment asks serious questions of those of us who would give an hour on Sunday morning and then rush to the next thing and spend the rest of our day as though this hour made no difference. Sabbath means stop. Perhaps no other commandment invites us so deeply to consider what we won't do because of our faith. What are the limits of the world's hold and influence over us? Where are the boundaries? And at what points do we as people of faith simply step back and say no? If you've ever lived in the South, you may have encountered a holiday that we don't celebrate up here, in my experience. It's called Juneteenth. Does anybody know about Juneteenth? Okay, a few. Juneteenth is the 19th of June. It started in Texas in 1866 on the one-year anniversary of the word of the Emancipation Proclamation getting to Texas. It was late getting there. But a year later, many of the 250,000 former slaves organized a gathering and makeshift parades. In some places, they weren't allowed into white-only parks, so they pooled money, bought their own land, some of which are still parks in those Texas cities. And knowing that they would not be allowed by their white employers to take the day off, they simply didn't go to work. They declared that this was a sacred time, and they refused not to celebrate the reality, though it wasn't fully realized, that they had been set free. Doing so meant withdrawing from the people and the patterns that claimed their time, and in some cases, tried to claim them. They simply stopped on that day because of the good news that they had received and what it would mean. They refused to let the world around them steal their joy or their time. Sabbath isn't simply about time off. It's about how we use our time. It's a reminder that all time is sacred. It's about realizing before it's too late that work and chores and things that have to be done get enough of your time as it is. Honestly, they get too much of our time and our minds and our hearts and our souls. Sabbath warns us that at the end of our days, we may not care as much as we think we will about all the stuff that we did. In fact, we may regret that we allocated so much time to things that weren't ultimately important. Sabbath stops us from thinking we have to do everything, from thinking we have to do more, from thinking we're defined by what we do. Sabbath pulls us back from the chaos of the world, reminds us that time belongs to God, as do we. It gives us a moment to focus on what's most important, to rethink our priorities, to realign our commitments, to re-examine our assumptions. Sabbath is not, and it never has been, about whether you shop on Sunday or mow your yard or eat at a restaurant. It has always been about dedicating our time and ourselves to God alone, redeeming our time for sacred purpose. And not just selfish purpose. To stop is to trust. To rest is to renew. To honor the Sabbath is to reconnect to our lives and our faith and our loved ones. Sabbath on Saturday or Sunday, it is the same goal, the same purpose, to point us away from self, away from world, and back to God. Remember listening to a sermon, one of my favorite preachers, was a sermon on Sabbath. And he told a story of a woman who came to church with her family. And it's the kind of family that comes to every church. You've probably seen a family like that here. Maybe you've been a family like that. I've seen them come and go and been them a couple of times. The story's about a mom. She's single. She's trying to hold it together. She's trying to figure it out. She's got a couple of kids. Her son is a young adolescent, and he's trying her patience all the time. That's the job of young adolescents, in case you don't know. You know the type. He's always late. His hair's never combed. One shoe is constantly untied. He always looks like he just rolled out of bed. He doesn't want to go to church, but mom's holding the line for now. She's still bigger than he is. she still holds the pocketbook and the keys and all the things that have a little power. And so he comes to church with her, but he doesn't love it. Well, as they come in that morning, you can tell it's been rough. Looks like they were arguing in the car. They're sniping at each other as they come through the front door. The argument continues. At one point, she turns around. You know she's frustrated. She looks at him, got half his shirt hanging out, half of it tucked in, and she gives that mom look and that deep sigh, and she just says in that loud mom whisper, "Will you tuck in your shirt?" And the pastor notices that standing right behind them is an older man. The pastor knows this older man because not too long ago he did a funeral for the older man's son. It was a quick death. He got word that it was cancer. And within just a few months, there they were at the funeral. And the pastor's watching this man who is watching this woman, and he's wondering, what's he thinking? Is he thinking about all the times he fussed at his own son and all the mornings that he drug him to church when he didn't want to be there? Or is he maybe thinking that she doesn't know yet how precious time is? How incredibly valuable and vulnerable each moment is, and how many of them we spend on patterns and problems that don't really matter. The pastor wonders if the man is maybe watching this woman standing in the house of God with her son and thinking, just stop. Doesn't matter. He's here. You're here. God's here. Just stop. Give it a rest. Pay attention to more important things. Hug him. Tell him you love him. Thank him for being here with you today. The shirt doesn't matter. The shoes don't matter. The hair doesn't matter. You think it does, but it doesn't. Just stop. Well, friends, you know, and I know, that in our life there's always going to be some shirt tail hanging out. Some project that has to get finished, a coworker who isn't pulling their weight, repairs that need done to the house, projects that need started or finished, an in-law who thinks you're not doing marriage or parenting right, a child who's hard to raise, a person who needs your attention, or a million other loose ends that we can never seem to get all tucked in at the same time. And there we are, stuck in our own stuff, on God's time, but focusing on our problems, our priorities, spending our time and our energy on things that might matter, they might be good, they might even be important, but they're not ultimate. Thinking it all has to be done, thinking we have to do it, thinking there has to be a better way. Well, the good news of the commandment, there is. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Sabbath means stop. It means breathe. It means rest. It means remember that you are on God's time and you are in God's hands. Because only when we stop can we be ready to go again. And only when we stop can we be ready to go in the right direction. Amen.